This story is about Howard Beale, who was the network news anchorman on UBS TV. In his time, Howard Beale had been a mandarin of television, the grand old man of news with a hot rating of 16 and a 28 audience share. In 1969, however, his fortunes began to decline. He fell to a 22 share. The following year, his wife died, and he was left a childless widower with an 8 rating and a 12 share. He became morose and isolated, began to drink heavily, and on September 22, 1975, he was fired, effective in 2 weeks. The news was broken to him by Max Schumacher, who was the president of the news division at UBS. The two old friends got properly pissed.
I was at CBS with Ed Morrow in 1951.
Must have been 1950 then. I was NBC associate producer. Morning news. I was just a kid, 26 years old. Anyway, they're building the lower level of the George Washington Bridge. We were doing a remote from there.
And nobody told me. And after 7 in the morning, I got a call. Where the hell are you? You're supposed to be in the George Washington Bridge. I jump out of bed, throw my raincoat over my pajamas, I run down. I run out of the street, hail a cab. And I say to the cabbie, take me to the middle of the George Washington Bridge. And the cabbie turns around and he says, don't do it, buddy. You're a young man. You got your whole life ahead of you. Did I ever tell you that one before?
I'm gonna kill myself.
Oh, shit, Howard.
Oh, I'm gonna blow my brains out right on the air. Right in the middle of the 7 o'clock news.
Get a hell of a rating, I'll guarantee you that. 50 share easy.
You think so?
Sure. We can make a series out of it. Suicide of the week. Why the hell, why limit ourselves? Execution of the week.
Terrorist of the week.
I love it. Suicides. Assassinations. Mad bombers. Mafia hitmen. Automobile smash-ups. The death hour. Great Sunday night show for the whole family. Wipe that fucking Disney right off the air.
Deportation at the end of 3.
I'm strong enough to bump?
In 1 minute, I'll do a lead on Sarah Jane Moore with Mayberry in San Francisco.
Phil Messer is the chief of detectives.
I think we've got about 10 seconds on the shooting itself.
The whole thing is 1:25.
Where does that come out?
About 4:50.
We use a squeaky phone.
Let's do that in 2. Squeaky, board at the airport, bounce. Now, are you using a map in San Francisco?
I prefer newspapers.
What do we got left?
Gun control, Patty Hearst affidavit, Gorillas in Chad, OPEC, Indiana.
I'm going to go to the next one. idea, Howard. None of you is going to succeed, okay?
The first attempt on President Ford's life was 18 days ago, and again yesterday in San Francisco. In spite of the two attempts, Mr. Ford says he will not become a prisoner of the Oval Office, a hostage of would-be assassins.
The American people are good people. Democrats, independents, Republicans, we're not.
How the hell you always get
under no circumstances.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like at this moment to announce that I will be retiring from this program in 2 weeks' time because of poor ratings. Since this show was the only thing I had going for me in my life, I have decided to kill myself.
So what she said?
I'm going to blow my brains out right on this program a week from today.
10 seconds to commercial.
Oh, tune in next Tuesday. That should give the public relations people a week to promote the show. We ought to get a hell of a rating out of that.
Won't tell it to me.
50 share. Easy.
Take Tellison.
When you're having a great time...
Did you hear that?
What was that about?
Howard just said he was going to blow his brains out next Tuesday.
What are you talking about?
Didn't you hear him? He just said...
No.
Howard just said he was going to kill himself next Tuesday.
What do you mean Howard just said he was going to kill himself next Tuesday?
He was supposed to do a tag on Ron Ness and said commercial.
Next Tuesday, I'm going to shoot myself.
What the hell's going on?
I don't know. He just said he was going to blow his brains out.
What the fuck's going on, Howard?
They want to know what the fuck is going on, Howard.
I can't hear you.
Turn the studio mic on.
We're back on in 11 seconds.
10 seconds.
32.
Howard, what the hell are you doing? Have you flipped or what?
I think we better get him off.
Get him off.
What's the matter with you fellas? Get your
fucking top off, you stupid son of a bitch. He's going out loud. We're in fucking trouble down here.
This is up to my fucking head.
Watch out. He's
got a stand by this.
Lou, can't we clear out that downstairs lobby? There must be 100 people down.
How am I going to clear out?
Every TV station and wire service in the city. I can barely get in.
Arthur,
anything litigable?
Not so far.
Yeah, how many spots are wiped out?
Frank Hackett just walked in.
We had to abort this.
Nelson,
what else could we do?
Talking to Wheeler.
So far, over 900 fucking phone calls complaining about the power line.
Shit.
Come on, if you want the page, are you putting it on?
Hackett just walked in.
No. ABC again, they want
Tell him to go fuck himself, and that goes for you too, Marty.
You're off the air as of now.
Wants to talk to you.
Who's your prison beat?
We're flying Snowden up from...
All right, everybody, hold it. Let's
see
how the
other networks handle this.
10 o'clock news open with it.
Good evening. Howard Beale, one of...
They're all going to make it their lead story.
Howard Beale interrupted his network news program tonight to announce that he was going to kill himself.
An unusual thing happened at one of our sister networks, UBS, this evening.
How are we handling it?
Oh, Holloway's going to make a brief statement at the end of the show that Howard's been under great personal stress, etc.
Call you back, John. All right. We've got a stockholders meeting tomorrow at which we're going to announce the restructuring of management plan, and I don't want this grotesque incident to interfere with that. I'll suggest Mr. Ruddy open with a short statement, washing this whole thing off. And you, Max, you better have some answers for some of those nuts that always come to stockholders.
Mr. Beale has been under great professional and personal strain.
I've got some goddamn surprises for you too, Schumacher. I've had enough to hear with your credit division and its annual $33 million deficit.
You keep your hands off my news division, Frank. We're responsible at corporate level, not you.
We'll goddamn well see about that.
All right, take it easy. Right now, how do we get Beale out of here? I understand there are at least 100 reporters and camera crews in the lobby.
We got a limo at the freight exit. Howard, you're going to spend the night with me at my place. There's bound to be press around yours. I want Snowden here by noon. Have Lester cover the CIA hearing and give the White House to Doris.
Delivery is screening, Max.
Right, okay. If John Wheeler calls, switch him to projection room 7.
Marco, come in here a minute.
I'm sorry, Bill. This is real business.
It's all right. Diana asked if she could sit in on this.
Fine. How's it going?
I think you'll like this footage better than the stuff I showed you last time, Matt.
Max Schumacher. Oh, God damn it. When?
Lorraine.
What did he say anything?
For the Communist Party to these splintered underground groups.
The Communist Party believes that the most pressing political necessity today is the consolidation of the revolutionary, radical, and democratic movements into a united front.
Harry, Howard Beale left my house about 20 minutes ago. Has he come in yet?
Yes, of the bourgeois democratic state.
Well, let me know when he arrives, huh?
Judicial systems and its prisons.
That's Lorraine Howe, isn't it?
Yeah, this is from a David Susskind thing a while back. I think we can use some of this stuff.
By the broadest possible coalition.
What we're going to see now is something really sensational. The Flagstaff Independent Bank of Arizona was ripped off last week by a terrorist group called the Ecumenical Liberation Army, and they themselves actually took movies of the ripoff while they were ripping it off. When do you see it?
The Ecumenical Liberation Army, that's not the one that kidnapped Patty Hearst.
No, that's the Symbionese Liberation Army. This is the Ecumenical Liberation Army.
They're the ones who kidnapped Marianne Gifford 3 weeks ago. There's a hell of a lot of liberation armies in the revolutionary underground and a lot of kidnapped heiresses. This is Marianne Gifford. Well, that's the great Ahmed Khan. He's their leader.
You mean they actually shot this film while they were ripping off the bank?
Yeah, wait till you see it. I don't know whether to edit or leave it raw like this.
This is terrific stuff. Where did you get it?
I got everything through Lorraine Hobbs. She's my contact for all this stuff. Yeah?
Max, I've got Howard on the other line.
All right, put him on.
Howard, I've got Max on four, but you've got him.
Yeah. Listen, Max, I'd like another shot.
Oh, come on, Howard.
I don't mean the whole show.
I'd just like to come on, make some brief farewell statement, and then turn the show over to Jack Snowden.
I have 11 years of this network, Max. I have some standing in the industry.
I just don't want to go out like a clown. It'll be simple, dignified. You and Harry can check the copy.
I think it'll take the strain off the show, Max.
Well, okay.
And no booze today, Howard.
No booze.
George, can you come into my office for a minute?
Right.
Barbara, is Tommy around anywhere?
Nothing.
I'd like to see the two of you for a moment.
This is Bill Heron from our West Coast Special Programs Department. George Bosch, Barbara Flessinger, Tommy Pellegrino. Look, I just saw some rough footage of a special Bill's doing on the Revolutionary Underground. Most of it's tedious stuff with Lorraine Hobbs and two fatigue jackets muttering mutilated Marxism. But he's got about 8 minutes of a bank robbery that is absolutely sensational. Authentic stuff, actually shot while the robbery was going on. You remember the Mary Ann Gifford kidnapping? It's that bunch of nuts. She's in the movie shooting off machine guns. That's really terrific footage. I think we can get a hell of a movie of the week out of it, maybe even a series.
A series out of what? What are we talking about?
Look, we've got a bunch of hobgoblin radicals called the Ecumenical Liberation Army who go around taking home movies of themselves robbing banks. And maybe they'll take movies of themselves kidnapping heiresses, hijacking 747s, bombing bridges, assassinating ambassadors. Well, we'd open each week's segment with that authentic footage, hire a couple of writers to write some story behind that footage, and we've got ourselves a series.
A series about a bunch of bank robbing guerrillas?
What are we going to call it? The Mao Zedong Hour?
Why not? They've got Strike Force, Task Force, SWAT. Why not Che Guevara and his own little mod squad? Look, I sent you all a concept analysis report yesterday. Did any of you read it? Well, in a nutshell, it said, the American people are turning sullen. They've been clobbered on all sides by Vietnam, Watergate, the inflation, the depression. They turned off, shot up, and they fuck themselves limp, and nothing helps. So, this concept analysis report concludes, the American people want somebody to articulate their rage for them.
I've been telling you people since I took this job 6 months ago that I want angry shows. I don't want conventional programming on this network. I want counterculture. I want anti-establishment. I don't want to play butch boss with people. But when I took over this department, it had the worst programming record in television history. This network hasn't one show in the top 20. This network is an industry joke. And we better start putting together one winner for next September. I want a show developed based on the activities of a terrorist group. Joseph Stalin and his merry band of Bolsheviks. I want ideas from you people. That is what you're paid for. And by the way, the next time I send an audience research report around, you'd all better read it or I'll sack a fucking lot of you. Is that clear? I'll be out on the coast in 4 weeks. Can you set up a meeting with the Lorraine Hobbs woman?
Sure. But the business of management is management. And at the time CCA took control, the UBS-TV network was foundering with less than 7% of national television revenues. Most network programs being sold at station rates. I am therefore pleased to announce I am submitting to the board of directors a plan for the coordination of the main profit centers. And with the specific intention of making each division more responsive to management. Point one. The division producing the lowest rate of return has been the news division, with its $98 million budget and its average annual deficit of $32 million. I know that historically news divisions are expected to lose money, but to our minds this philosophy is a wanton fiscal affront to be resolutely resisted. The new plan calls for local news to be transferred to owned stations divisions. News radio would be transferred to the UBS radio division, and in effect, the news division would be reduced from an independent division to a department accountable to network.
What was that all about, Ed?
This is not the time. Why wasn't I told about this? Why was I led up onto that podium and publicly humiliated in front of the stockholders? Now, goddammit, I spoke to John Wheeler this morning, and he assured me that the news division was safe. Now, if you're trying to get me to resign, that's one hell of a way to do it.
We'll talk about this tomorrow at our regular morning meeting.
Roll VTA.
10, 9,
bring up on 1,
8,
ready now.
7,
1, crew,
6,
10, 5, 4, 3, 2,
1,
1 KBTA, and cue announcer,
the UBS Evening News, with Howard Beale.
Ready, 2, 2, cue Howard.
Good evening. Today is Wednesday, September the 24th, and this is my last broadcast. Yesterday, I announced on this program that I was going to commit public suicide, admittedly an act of madness. Well, I'll tell you what happened. I just ran out of bullshit.
All right, cut him off.
Leave him on.
Am I still on the air?
If this is how he wants to go out,
I don't know any other way to say it, except that I just ran out of bullshit.
Yeah. Look, Mr. Schumacher's right here. Do you want to talk to him?
Bullshit is all the reasons we give for living. And if we can't think of any reasons of our own, we always have the God bullshit.
Holy Mary, Mother.
We don't know why we're going through all this pointless pain, humiliation, and decay, so there better be someone somewhere who does know. That's the God bullshit.
He's saying that life is bullshit, and it is. So what are you screaming about?
Man is a noble creature that can order his own world. Who needs God? Well, if there's anybody out there that can look around this demented slaughterhouse of a world we live in and tell me that man is a noble creature, believe me, that man is full of bullshit.
What's so goddamn funny?
I can't help it, Harry. It's funny.
I don't have anything, thanks.
This is going out live to 67.
I don't have any kids.
Leave him on.
And I was married for 33 years of shrill, shrieking fraud.
Mr. Hackett's trying to get through to you.
Tell Mr. Hackett to go fuck himself.
So I don't have any bullshit left. I just ran out of it, you see.
Mr. Beale.
Max.
I want to see Mr. Beale after this. The way I hear it, Max, you were primarily responsible for this colossally stupid prank. Is that the fact, Max?
That's the fact.
It was unconscionable. Doesn't seem to be anything more to say.
I have something to say, Ed. I want to know why that whole debasement of the news division announced at the stockholders' meeting this afternoon was kept secret from me. You and I go back 20 years, Ed. I took this job with your personal assurance that you'd back my autonomy against any encroachment. But ever since CCA acquired control of UBS systems 10 months ago, Hackett's been taking over everything. Now, who the hell is running this network? You or some conglomerate called CCA? I mean, you're president of the systems group, and Hackett's nothing but a hatchet man for CCA. Nelson here, president of a network, and he hasn't a damn thing to say about anything anymore.
I told you at the stockholders' meeting, Max, that we would discuss all that at our regular meeting tomorrow morning. If you had been patient, I would have explained that I too thought Frank Hackett precipitate, and that the reorganization of the news division would not be executed until everyone, specifically you, Max, had been consulted and satisfied. Instead, you sulked off like a child and engaged this network in a shocking and disgraceful episode. Your position is no longer tenable, regardless of how management is restructured. I will expect your resignation at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, and we will coordinate our statements to the least detriment of everyone. Bob McDonough will take over the news division until we can sort all this out. I'd like to see Mr. Beale now.
They're looking for him, man. They don't know where he is.
Well, every day, 5 days a week, for 15 years, I've been sitting behind that desk, the dispassionate pundit, reporting with seemly detachment the daily parade of lunacies that constitute the news. And just once, I wanted to say what I really felt.
Knock it off, Arthur.
It was, after all, my last...
Overnight ratings come in.
They're on your desk.
Have you still got yesterday's overnights around?
Shall I bring them in?
Yeah. These are those four outlines submitted by Universal for an hour series. You needn't bother to read them. I'll tell them to you. The first one is set in a large eastern law school, presumably Harvard. The series is irresistibly entitled The New Lawyers. The running characters are a crusty but benign ex-Supreme Court justice, presumably Oliver Wendell Holmes by way of Dr. Zorba. There is a beautiful girl graduate student and the local district attorney who is brilliant and sometimes cuts corners.
Next one.
The second one's called The Amazon Squad.
Lady Cops.
The running characters include a crusty but benign police lieutenant who's always getting heat from the commissioner, a hard-nosed, hard-drinking detective who thinks women belong in the kitchen, and a brilliant and beautiful young girl cop who's fighting the feminist battle on the force.
We're up to our ears in Lady Cops.
The next is another one of those investigative reporter shows. A crusty but benign managing editor who's always getting...
You know, Barbara, the Arabs have decided to jack up the price of oil another 20%. The CIA has been caught opening Senator Humphrey's mail. There's a civil war in Angola, another one in Beirut. The New York City is still facing default. They finally caught up with Patricia Hearst. And the whole front page of the Daily News is Howard Beale. There's also a two-column story on page one of the Times.
Helen? Call Mr. Hackett's office. See if he can give me a few minutes this morning.
KTNS Kansas City refuses to carry our network news show anymore unless Beale is taken off the air.
Did you see the overnight on the network news? It has an 8 in New York, a 9 in L.A., and a 27 share in both cities. Last night, Howard Beale went on the air and yelled bullshit for 2 minutes, and I can tell you right now that tonight's show will get a 30 share at least. I
think we've lucked into something.
Oh, for God's sakes, Diana, are you suggesting we put that lunatic back on the air yelling bullshit?
Yes, I think we should put Beale back on the air tonight and keep him on. Did you see the news this morning? Did you see the Times? We've got press coverage on this you couldn't buy for $1 million. Frank, that dumb show jumped 5 rating points in one night. Tonight's show has got to be at least 15. We just increased our audience by 20 or 30 million people in one night. Now, you're not going to get something like this dumped in your lap for the rest of your days, and you can't just piss it away. Howard Beale went up there last night and said what every American feels, that he's tired of all the bullshit. He's articulating the popular rage. I want that show, Frank. I can turn that show into the biggest smash on television.
What do you mean you want that show? It's a news show. It's not your department.
I see Howard Beale as a latter-day prophet, a magnificent messianic figure inveighing against the hypocrisies of our times, a strip Savonarola Monday through Friday that, I tell you, Frank, would just go through the roof. And I'm talking about a $6 cost per 1,000 show. I'm talking about $130,000 minutes. Do you want to figure out the revenues of a strip show that sells for $100,000 a minute? One show like that could pull this whole network right out of the hole now, Frank. It's being handed to us on a plate. Let's not blow it.
Yes. Tell him I'll be a few minutes. Let me think it over.
Frank, let's not go to committee on this. It's 20 after 10. We want Beale in that studio by 6:30. We don't want to lose the momentum.
For God's sakes, Diana, we're talking about putting a manifestly irresponsible man on national television.
I'd like to talk to Legal Affairs, at least, and Herb Thackeray, and certainly Joe Donnelly, and Standards and Practices. And you know I'm going to be eyeball to eyeball with Mr. Ruddy on this. If I'm going to the mat with Ruddy, I want to make sure of some of my ground. I'm the one whose ass is going on the line. I'll get back to you, Diana.
I don't believe this. I don't believe the top brass of a national television network is sitting around their Caesar salad.
The top brass of a bankrupt national television network with projected losses of close to $150 million.
I don't care how bankrupt. You can't be seriously proposing, and the rest of us seriously considering putting on a pornographic network news show. The FCC would kill us.
Sit down, Nelson. The FCC can't do anything except wrap our knuckles.
I don't even want to think about the litigious possibilities, Frank. We could be up to our ears in lawsuits.
The affiliates won't carry it.
Affiliates will kiss your ass if you can hand them a hit show.
The popular reaction?
We don't know the popular reaction. That's what we have to find out.
The New York Times?
The New York Times doesn't advertise on our network.
All I know is this violates every canon of respectable broadcasting.
We're not a respectable network. We're a whorehouse network, and we have to take whatever we can get.
Well, I don't want any part of it. I don't fancy myself the president of a whorehouse.
That's very commendable of you, Nelson. Now sit down. Your indignation has been duly recorded. You can always resign tomorrow. Now look,
what in substance are we proposing? Merely to add editorial comment to our network news show. Brinkley, Severide, Reasoner all have their comments. Now Howard Beale will have his. I think we ought to give it a shot. Let's see what happens tonight. Telephone, please.
Well, I don't want to be the Babylonian messenger that has to tell Max Schumacher about this.
Max Schumacher doesn't work at the network anymore. Mr. Ruddy fired him last night. Bob McDonough's running the news division now. Bob McDonough in news, please.
Oh, I don't know. I may teach, I may write a book. Whatever the hell one does when one approaches the autumn of one's years.
My God, is that me? Was I ever that young?
No, Howard just brought in a picture of Ed Moore and the whole CBS gang when we were there. You wouldn't believe it. Walter Cronkite, Harry Reasoner, Hollenbeck, Bob Trout. Is that you, Howard?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, Dick, we'll be in touch.
Right. You remember this kid? He's the kid I think you once sent out to interview Cleveland Amory on Vivisection. That's it.
What's so funny?
So I jump out of bed in my pajamas, I grab my raincoat, I run downstairs, I run out in the street, and I hail a cab. And I jump in and I yell at the driver, "Take me to the middle of the George Washington Bridge." driver turns around and he says, "Don't do it, buddy. Don't do it. You're young. You get your whole life ahead of you."
Wait a minute. If you think that's funny, wait till you hear this. I've just come back from Frank Hackett's office, and he wants to put Howard back on the air tonight.
You're kidding.
No, apparently the ratings went up 5 points last night, and he wants Howard to go back on and do his angry man thing.
What are you talking about?
I'm telling you, they want Howard to go back on and yell bullshit. They want Howard to go on spontaneously letting out his anger. A latter-day prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our time.
Hey, that sounds pretty good.
Who's this today?
Hackett. Janie was there. The legal affairs guy. Oh, and that girl from programming.
Christensen.
What's she got to do with this?
You're kidding, aren't you?
I'm not kidding. I told him, I said, look, we're running a news department down here, not a circus. And Howard Beale's not a bearded lady. And if you think I'm going to go along with this bastardization of the news, you can have my resignation along with Max Schumacher's right now. And I think I'm speaking for Howard Beale and everybody else
down here
in news.
Hey, that's my job you're turning down. Anyway, I'd go nuts without some kind of work. And what's wrong with being an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times? What do you think, Max?
Do you want to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Yeah, I think I'd like to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times. Then grab it! Grab it!
Afternoon, Mr. Ruddy.
Afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ruddy. Wedding day, Mr. Ruddy?
Thank you.
Nelson Cheney tells me Beale may actually go in the air this evening.
As far as I know, Howard's going to do it. You going to sit still for this, Ed?
Yes. I think Hackett's overstepped himself. There's some kind of corporate maneuvering going on, Max. Hackett is clearly forcing a confrontation. That would account for his behavior at the stockholders' meeting. However, I think he's making a serious mistake with this Beale business. I suspect CCA will be upset at Hackett's presumptuousness. Certainly Mr. Jensen will. So I'm going to let Hackett have his head for a while. He just might lose it over this Beale business. I'd like you to reconsider your resignation, Max. I have to assume that Hackett wouldn't take such steps without some support on the CCA board. I'll have to go directly to Mr. Jensen. When that happens, I'm going to need every friend I've got. And I certainly don't want Hackett's people in all the divisional positions. So I'd like you to stay on, Max.
Of course, Ed.
Thank you, Max.
This has been the UBS Evening News with Howard Beale.
The initial response to the new Howard Beale show was not auspicatory. The press was without exception hostile and industry reaction negative. The ratings for the Thursday and Friday shows were both 14, but Monday's rating dropped a point, clearly suggesting the novelty was wearing off.
Did you know there are a number of psychics working as licensed brokers on Wall Street? Some of them counsel their clients by use of tarot cards. They're all pretty successful, even in a bear market, and selling short. I met one of them last week and thought of doing a show around her, the Wayward Witch of Wall Street, something like that. But of course, if her tips were any good, she could wreck the market. So, I called her this morning and asked her how she was on predicting the future. She said she was occasionally prescient. For example, she said, I just had a fleeting vision of you sitting in an office with a craggy middle-aged man with whom you are or will be emotionally involved. And here I am.
She does all this with tarot cards?
No. This one operates on parapsychology. She has trance-like episodes and feels things in her energy field. I think this lady could be very useful to you, Max.
In what way?
Well, you put on a news show, and here's somebody who can predict tomorrow's news for you. Her name, aptly enough, is Sybil. Sybil the soothsayer. You could give her 2 minutes of trance at the end of a Howard Beale show, say, you're once a week, Friday, which is suggestively occult, and she could oraculate. Then next week, everyone tunes in to see how good her predictions were.
Maybe she could do the weather.
Your network news show is going to need some help, Max. If it's going to hold, Beale doesn't do the angry man thing well at all. He's too clenchy. He's being irascible. We want a prophet, not a curmudgeon. He should do more apocalyptic doom. I think you should take it on a couple of writers to write some Jeremiads for him. I see you don't fancy my suggestions.
Well, you're not serious, are you?
No, I'm serious. The fact is, I could make your Beale show the highest-rated news show in television if you'd let me have a crack at it.
What do you mean, have a crack at it?
I'd like to program it for you. Develop it. I wouldn't interfere with the actual news itself, but TV is showbiz, Max. And even the news has to have a little showmanship.
God, you are serious.
I watched your 6 o'clock news today. It's straight tabloid. You had a minute and a half of that lady riding a bike naked in Central Park. On the other hand, you had less than a minute of hard national and international news. It was all sex, scandal, brutal crime, sports, children with incurable disease, and lost puppies. So I don't think I'll listen to any protestations of high standards of journalism. Now, you're right down in the street soliciting audiences like the rest of us. Look, all I'm saying is, if you're going to hustle, at least do it right. I'm going to bring this up at tomorrow's network meeting, but I don't like network hassles, and I was hoping that you and I could work this out between us. Now, that's why I'm here.
And I was hoping that you were looking for an emotional involvement with a craggy, middle-aged man.
Oh, I wouldn't rule that out entirely.
All right, Diana. You bring up all your ideas at the meeting tomorrow, because if you don't, I will. I think Howard's making a goddamn fool of himself, and so does everybody that Howard and I know in this industry. It was a fluke. It didn't work. So tomorrow, Howard goes back to the old format, and all of this gutter depravity comes to an end.
Okay.
I don't get it, Diana. You hung around until 7:30 and then came all the way down here just to pitch a couple of loony showbiz ideas when you knew goddamn well I'd laugh you right out of the office. I don't get it. What's your scam in this?
Max, my little visit here tonight was a gesture made out of your stature in the industry. And because I personally admired you since I was a kid majoring in speech at the University of Missouri. But sooner or later, with or without you, I'm going to take over your network news show, and I figured I might as well start tonight.
I think I once gave a lecture at the University of Missouri.
I was in the audience. I had a terrible schoolgirl crush on you for a couple of months.
If we could get back for a moment to that gypsy who predicted all that about emotional involvements in middle-aged men. What are you doing for dinner tonight?
I can't make it tonight, love. Call me tomorrow.
Do you have a favorite restaurant?
I eat anything.
Son of a bitch, I get a feeling I'm being made.
You are.
I've got to warn you, I don't do anything on my first date.
We'll see.
Schmuck, what are you getting into?
Married for 4 years and pretended to be happy, and had 6 years of analysis and pretended to be sane. My husband ran off with his boyfriend, and I had an affair with my analyst. He told me I was the worst lady he'd ever had. I can't tell you how many men have told me what a lousy lay I am. I apparently have a masculine temperament. I arouse quickly, consummate prematurely, and can't wait to get my clothes back on and get out of that bedroom. I seem to be inept at everything except my work. I'm good at my work.
not confine myself to that. All I want out of life is a 30 share and a 20 rating. You're married to him.
25 years. I have a married daughter in Seattle who's 6 months pregnant. A younger girl who's starting at Northwestern in January.
Well, Max, here we are. Middle-aged man reaffirming his middle-aged manhood and a terrified young woman with a father complex. What sort of script do you think we can make out of this?
Court of gossip says that you're Frank Hackett's backstage girl.
I'm not.
Frank's a corporation man.
Well, you know, he has no loves, lusts, or allegiances that are not consummately directed toward becoming a CCA board member. So why should you bother with me? I'm not even a stockholder.
What about your loves, lusts, and allegiances?
Is your wife in town?
Yes.
Well, then you better go to my place.
I can't hear you. You'll have to talk a little louder. Yes, I hear you. Yes. Yes. Why me? I said, why me? Okay.
Howard in his office? Oh, Harry, I'm killing this whole screwball angry prophet thing. Tonight we go back straight. Okay.
15 seconds. 14, 13, 12,
yeah.
11.
Max, I'm killing his spine. Sharp all day. It's been funny as hell.
Had everybody cracking up with the rundown meeting.
I told him.
Up, QBTA. Ready to. You announcer.
The UBS Evening News.
Ready to.
With Howard Beale.
Take two, Q-Host.
Last night, I was awakened from a fitful sleep shortly after 2 o'clock in the morning by a shrill, sibilant, faceless voice. I couldn't make it out at first in the dark bedroom. And I said, I'm sorry, you will have to talk a little louder.
What do you want me to do?
Nothing. And the voice said to me, I want you to tell the people the truth. Not an easy thing to do because the people don't want to know the truth. And I said, you're kidding. What the hell should I know about the truth? But the voice said to me, don't worry about the truth. I will put the words in your mouth. And I said, what is this, the burning bush? For God's sake, I'm not Moses. And the voice said to me, and I'm not God. What has that got to do with it? And the voice said to me, we're not talking about eternal truth or absolute truth or ultimate truth. We're talking about impermanent, transient, human truth. I don't expect you people to be capable of truth, but God damn it, at least you're capable of self-preservation. And I said, why me? And the voice said, because you're on television, dummy. You have 40 million Americans listening to you, and after the show you could have 50 million. For Pete's sake, I'm not asking you to walk the land in sackcloth and ashes preaching the Armageddon. You're on TV, man. So I thought about it for a moment. And then I said, okay. Close the door, Harry. Howard, I'm taking you off the air. I think you're having a breakdown. Require treatment.
This is not a psychotic episode. This is a cleansing moment of clarity.
I'm imbued, Max. I'm imbued with some special spirit. It's not a religious feeling at all. It's a shocking eruption of great electrical energy. I feel vivid and flashing as if suddenly I'd been plugged into some great electromagnetic field. I feel connected to all living things, to flowers, birds, all the animals of the world, and even to some great unseen living force, what I think the Hindus call prana. But it's not a breakdown. I've never felt more orderly in my life. It is a shattering and beautiful sensation. It is the exalted flow of the space-time continuum, save that it is spaceless and timeless and of such loveliness. I feel on the verge of some great ultimate truth. And you will not take me off the air for now or for any other spaceless time.
Oh, boy. Is he okay?
He's just fainted. I better get him back to my house again tonight. Help me get him up.
Wake up, Max. Because Howard's gone. I'll make you some coffee.
What do you mean you don't know where he is? The son of a bitch is ahead, goddammit! Over 2,000 phone calls! Go down to the mailroom. As of this minute, over 14,000 telegrams. The response is sensational. Herb telling. Herb's phone hasn't stopped ringing. Every goddamn affiliate from Albuquerque to Sandusky. The response is sensational. Yes. All right. You, Herb. Get back to your office. Muldanian called me, Joe Donnelly called me. We got a goddamn hit, goddammit. Diana showing the Times. We even got an editorial in the holy goddamn New York Times. A call to morality.
I don't know where he is.
That crazy son of a bitch Beale has caught on, so don't tell me you don't know where he is.
He could be jumping off a roof for all I know. The man is insane. He's not responsible for himself. He needs care and treatment. And all you grave robbers think about is that he's a hit.
You know, Max, it's just possible that he isn't insane. That he is, in fact, imbued with some special spirit.
My God, I'm supposed to be the romantic. You're supposed to be the hard-bitten realist.
All right. Howard Beale obviously fills a void. The audience out there obviously wants a prophet, even a manufactured one, even if he's as mad as Moses. Why, tomorrow he'll have a 50 share, maybe even a 60. Howard Beale is processed instant God, and right now it looks like he may just go over bigger than Mary Tyler Moore.
I am not putting Howard back on the air.
It's not your show anymore. More Max, it's mine.
I gave her the show, Schumacher.
I'm putting the network news show under programming. Mr. Ruddy has had a mild heart attack and is not taking calls. In his absence, I'm making all network decisions, including one I've been wanting to make a long time. You're fired. I want you out of this building by noon. I'll call the security guards and have you thrown out if you're still here.
Well, let's say fuck you, Hackett. You want me out of here, you're going to have to drag me out kicking and screaming, and the whole news division kicking and screaming with me.
You think they're going to quit their jobs for you? Not in this recession, buddy.
When Ruddy gets back, he'll have your ass.
I got a hit, Schumacher, and Ruddy doesn't count anymore. He was hoping I'd fall on my face with his Beale show, but I didn't. It's a big, fat, big-titted hit, and I don't have to waffle around with Ruddy anymore. If he wants to take me up before the CCA board, let him. Do you think Ruddy is stupid enough to go to the CCA board and say, I'm taking our one hit show off the air? And comes November 14, I'm going to be standing up there at the annual CCA management review meeting, and I'm going to announce projected earnings for this network for the first time in 5 years. And believe me, Mr. Jensen's going to be sitting there rocking back and forth in his little chair, and he's going to say, that's very good, Frank. Keep it up. So don't have any illusions about who's running this network from now on. You're fired. I want you out of your office before noon, or I'll have you thrown out.
Do you go along with this?
Max, I told you I didn't want a network hassle on this. I told you I'd much rather work the Beale show out just between the two of us.
Well, let's just say fuck you too, honey. Howard Beale may be my best friend. I'll go to court. I'll put him in a hospital before I'll let you exploit him like a carnival freak.
You get your psychiatrist, I'll get mine.
I'm going to spread this whole reeking business in every newspaper, on every network, group, and affiliate in this country. I'm going to make a lot of noise about this.
Great. We need all the press we can get. Something going on between you and Schumacher?
Not anymore.
What do you do, Mr. Beale?
I must make my witness.
Sure thing, Mr. Beale.
Oil ministers of the OPEC nations meeting in Vienna still haven't decided how much more to increase the price of oil next Wednesday.
Ready, BTA?
Yeah. Iran and...
Okay, he came in the building about 5 minutes ago.
All BTA.
Tell Snowden when he comes in.
9, 8, 7, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
BTA. This has been the most divisive meeting the oil states have ever had. The 13 nations of OPEC have still not been able to decide by how much to increase the price of oil. Saudi Arabia...
How much time we got?
Yesterday, for further consultations with his government, he returned to the Vienna... This is Ed Fletcher in Vienna.
Take two, Q Howard. I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe, and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
I want you to get up right now. Get up.
Sailor.
Go to your windows, open them, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. Things have got to change.
How many stations does this go out?
You've got to get mad.
67. I know it goes to Louisville and Atlanta.
We're not going to take this anymore. Then we'll figure out what to do about the depression and the inflation and the oil crisis. But first, get up out of your chair, open the window, stick your head out and yell, and say, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Who are you talking to, Herb?
It's CGG, Atlanta.
Are they yelling in Atlanta, Herb?
Are they yelling in Atlanta, Ted?
But first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
They're yelling in Baton Rouge.
Get up, get up, get up out of your chair.
Son of a bitch! We struck the mother lode!
Stick your head out of the window, open it, and stick your head out and keep yelling and yell, I'm as mad as hell. I'm not going to take this anymore. Just get up from your chairs right now. Go to
where
the
window. Where are you going?
Everybody,
I want to see if anybody's yelling.
Open the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell and keep yelling.
The Howard Beale Show had settled in at a 42 share, more than equaling all the other network news shows combined. In the Nielsen ratings, The Howard Beale Show was listed as the fourth highest rated show of the month, surpassed only by The $6 Million Man, All in the Family, and Phyllis, a phenomenal state of affairs for a news show. And on October the 15th, Diana Christensen flew to Los Angeles for what the trade calls powwows and confabs with her West Coast programming execs to get production rolling on the shows for the coming season.
Christ. You brought half the William Morris West Coast office along with you. Hi. I'm Diana Christensen, a racist lackey of the imperialist ruling circles.
I'm Laureen Hobbs, a badass commie nigger. It sounds like the basis of a firm friendship.
We're going to need more chairs. Anybody want coffee?
I'd love some.
Hey, you changed your tail.
Coffee? Okay. Well, come take some coffee orders.
This is my lawyer, Sam Haywood, and his associate, Merrill Grant.
Well, Miss Christensen, just what the hell's this all about? Because when a national television network, in the person of Booby here, comes to me and says they want to put the ongoing struggle of the oppressed masses on prime-time television, I have to regard this askance.
What Mr. Haywood was saying, Miss Christensen, was that our client, Miss Hobbs, wants it up front. The political content of the show has to be entirely in her control.
She can have it. I don't give a damn about the political content.
What kind of show did you have in mind?
I'm interested in doing a weekly dramatic series based on the Ecumenical Liberation Army, and I'll tell you right now, if the first show has to be a two-hour special on Mary Ann Gifford. Let me tell you what I want. I want a lot more film, like the bank rip-off the Ecumenical sent in. The way I see the series is, each week, we open with an authentic act of political terrorism taken on the spot in the actual moment. Then we go to the drama behind the opening film footage. That's your job, Miss Hobbs. You've got to get the ecumenicals to bring in that film footage for us. The network can't deal with them directly. They are, after all, wanted criminals.
The Ecumenical Liberation Army is an ultra-left sect creating political confusion with wildcat violence and pseudo-insurrectionary acts, which the Communist Party does not endorse. The American masses are not yet ready for open revolt. We would not want to produce a television show celebrating historically deviational terrorism.
Miss Hobbs, I'm offering you an hour of primetime television every week into which you can stick whatever propaganda you want.
The Ecumenicals are an undisciplined, ultra-left gang whose leader is an eccentric, to say the least. He calls himself the great Ahmed Khan and wears a hussar's shako.
Miss Hobbs, we're talking about 30 to 50 million people a shot. A lot better than handing out mimeograph pamphlets on ghetto street corners.
Well, I'll have to take this matter to the Central Committee. I'd better check it out with the great Ahmed Khan.
I'll be in LA until Saturday, and I'd like to get it rolling.
Well, Ahmed, you ain't gonna believe this, but I'm gonna make a TV star out of you, just like Archie Bunker. You're gonna be a household word.
What the fuck are you talking about?
30 seconds.
All right, ready, VTA. One, you have the audience to pan.
25.
Two, you have the window to pull. Three, you're on the announcer.
20.
Stand by, VTA.
15, 14, 13, 12,
ready,
11,
roll VTA.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5,
ready,
4, 3, 2, 1.
3, cue announcer.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it. How do you feel? Ladies and gentlemen, the Network News Hour with Sybil the Soothsayer. Jim Levick, and here's it's the Emma's Truth Department. Miss Matahari and her skeletons in the closet. Tonight, another segment of Vox Populi. And starring the mad prophet of the airways, Howard Beale.
The chairman of the board of the Union Broadcasting Systems, and he died at 11 o'clock this morning of a heart condition, and woe is us, we're in a lot of trouble. So, a rich little man with white hair died. What has that got to do with the price of rice, right? And why is that woe to us? Because you people and 62 million other Americans are listening to me right now. Because less than 3% of you people read books. Because less than 15% of you read newspapers. Because the only truth you know is what you get over this tube. Right now, there is a whole, an entire generation that never knew anything that didn't come out of this tube. This tube is the gospel. The ultimate revelation. This tube can make or break presidents, popes, prime ministers. This tube is the most awesome goddamn force in the whole godless world. And woe is us if it ever falls into the hands of the wrong people. And that's why woe is us that Edward George Ruddy died. Because this company is now in the hands of CCA, the Communication Corporation of America. There's a new chairman of the board, a man called Frank Hackett, sitting in Mr. Ruddy's office on the 20th floor. And when the 12th largest company in the world controls the most awesome goddamn propaganda force in the whole godless world, who knows what shit will be peddled for truth on this network. So you listen to me. Listen to me. Television is not the truth. Television's a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves, because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. But man, you're never going to get any truth from us. We'll tell you anything you want to hear. We lie like hell. We'll tell you that Kojak always gets the killer, and that nobody ever gets cancer in Archie Bunker's house, and no matter how much trouble the hero is in, don't worry, just look at your watch. At the end of the hour, he's going to win. We'll tell you any shit you want to hear. We deal in illusions, man. None of it is true. But you people sit there day after day, night after night, all ages, colors, creeds. We're all you know. You're beginning to believe the illusions we're spinning here. You're beginning to think that the tube is reality and that your own lives are unreal. You do whatever the tube tells you. You dress like the tube. You eat like the tube. You raise your children like the tube. You even think like the tube. This is mass madness, you maniacs. In God's name, you people are the real thing. We are the illusion. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of the sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
UBS was running at a cash flow break-even point after taking into account $110 million of negative cash flow from the network. It was clear the fat on the network had to be flitched off. Now, please note an increase in projected initial programming revenues in the amount of $21 million due to the phenomenal success of the Howard Beale Show. I expect a positive cash flow for the entire complex of $45 million achievable in this fiscal year, a year in short, ahead of schedule. But beyond that, this network may well be the most significant profit center of the communications complex. And based upon the projected rate of return on invested capital, and if merger is eventually accomplished, the communications complex may well become the towering and most profitable center in the entire CCA empire. I await your questions and comments. Mr. Jensen.
Very good, Frank. Exemplary. Keep it up.
Have a coffee?
Well, yes.
You have to get back to the office?
Nothing that can't wait. I drop down to the news studios every now and then and ask Howard Beale about you. He says you're doing fine. Are you?
Nope.
Are you keeping busy?
Oh, in a passion. This is the third funeral I've been to in 2 weeks. I have two other friends in the hospital whom I visit regularly. I've been to a couple of christenings. All my friends seem to be dying or having grandchildren.
You should be a grandfather yourself about now. You have a pregnant daughter in Seattle, don't you?
Any day now. My wife's out there for the occasion. I've thought many times of calling you.
I wish you had. You know, I bumped into Sybil Soothsayer in the elevator last week. I said, you know, Sybil, about 4 months ago, you predicted I would get involved with a craggy middle-aged man. And so far, all that's happened has been one many splendored night. I don't call that getting involved. And she said, don't worry, you will. It was a many splendored night, wasn't it, Max?
Yes, it was.
Are we going to get involved, Max?
Yes. I need to become involved very much. How about you?
I've reached for the phone to call you 100 times, but I was sure you hated me for my part in taking your new show away.
I probably did. I don't know anymore. All I know is I can't get you out of my mind.
Marty, I know what NBC offers him, so I'm saying go to 3.5, and I want an option for a third run on all of them. But Marty, I'm in a big hurry, and you and Shelby are supposed to be negotiating this, so goodbye, good luck, I'll see you Monday.
Jimmy Kahn's agent just called and says, absolutely, nix.
Atwood Hall.
Where can I reach you later today?
You can't, I'll be gone all weekend.
NBC's offering 3.25 mil per package in 5 James Bond movies, and I think I'm going to steal them for 3.5 for the third run. I'm going to stick the Mousy Tuna in at 8 because we're having a lot of trouble selling the Mousy Tuna. This one. That Mao Tse Tung Hour is turning into one big pain in the ass. We're having heavy legal problems with the federal government right now. Two FBI guys turned up in Hackett's office last week and served us with a subpoena. They heard about a Flagstaff Bank ripoff film and they want it. Hackett told the FBI to fuck off.
No, but we're getting around the FBI by doing this show in collaboration with the news division. We're standing on the First Amendment, freedom of the press, and the right to protect our sources. Walter thinks we can knock out the misprision of felony charge. But he's an absolute nix on going to series. They'll hit us with conspiracy and inducement to commit a crime. Christ, it's cold in here. See, we're paying these nuts from the Ecumenical Liberation Army $10,000 a week in order to turn in authentic film footage of their revolutionary activities, and that can constitute inducement to commit a crime. And Walter says we'll all wind up in federal prison.
I said, Walter, let the government sue us. Let the federal government sue us.
We'll take them to the Supreme Court. We'll be trampled in months. The New York Times and the Washington Post and the writing editorial that we trust. We'll be front page for months. We'll have more press than Watergate. All I need is 6 weeks federal education. And the Mao Tse Tung can start carrying his own time slot. What's really bugging me now is my daytime programming. NBC's got a lock on daytime. Lousy game shows. And I like to bust them. I'm thinking of doing a homosexual soap opera. The Dykes. The heart-rending saga about a woman hopelessly in love with her husband's mistress. What do you think?
How long has it been going on?
A month. I thought it was a transient thing, blow over in a week.
I still pray to God it's just a menopausal infatuation. But it is an infatuation, Louise. There's no sense in my saying I won't see her again, because I will. You want me to leave? Check into a hotel?
Do you love her?
I don't know how I feel. I'm grateful I can feel anything. I know I'm obsessed with her.
Say it. Don't keep telling me that you're obsessed, that you're infatuated. Say that you're in love with her.
I'm in love with her.
Go anywhere you want. Go to a hotel. Go live with her. But don't come back. Because after 25 years of building a home and raising a family and all the senseless pain that we have inflicted on each other, I'm damned if I'm going to stand here and have you tell me you're in love with somebody else. Because this isn't a convention weekend with your secretary, is it? Or some broad that you picked up after 3 belts of booze. This is your great winter romance, isn't it? Your last roar of passion before you settle into your emeritus years. Is that what's left for me? Is that my share? She gets the winter passion and I get the dotage. What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to sit home knitting and purling while you slink back like some penitent drunk? I'm your wife, damn it! And if you can't work up a winter passion for me, the least I require is respect and allegiance. I can't, don't you understand that? I hurt badly. Oh, say something for God's sake.
I've got nothing to say.
I won't give you up easily, Max. I think perhaps it is better if you move out. Does she love you, Max?
I'm not sure she's capable of any real feelings. She's television generation. She learned life from Bugs Bunny. The only reality she knows comes to her from over the TV set. She's very carefully devised a number of scenarios for all of us to play, like movie of the week. Oh, my God, look at us, Louise. Here we are going through the obligatory middle of act two, scorned wife throws peccant husband out scene. But don't worry, I'll come back to you in the end. All of her plot outlines have me leaving her and coming back to you because the audience won't buy a rejection of the happy American family. She does have one script in which I kill myself. An adapted for television version of Anna Karenina, where she's Count Vronsky and I'm Anna.
You're in for some dreadful grief, Max.
I know.
The Mao Zedong Hour went on the air March 14th. It received a 47 share. The network promptly committed to 15 shows with an option for 10 more. There were the usual contractual difficulties.
Equal to 20% 2-0, except with such percentages, there'll be 30% 3-0 for 90 minutes or longer. Television programs.
Have we settled that sub-licensing thing?
Oh, no.
We want a clear definition here. Gross proceeds should consist of all funds the sub-licensee receives, not merely
the net amount remitted after payment to the sublicensee or distributor.
We're not sitting still for overhead charges that are caused prior to distribution.
Don't fuck with my distribution costs. I'm making a lousy 215 per segment. I'm already depositing 25 grand a week with Metro. I'm paying WMRS 10% off the top. And I'm giving this turkey $10 per segment, another $5 for this fruitcake. And Helen, don't start no shit with me about a piece again. I'm paying Metro 20% for all foreign and Canadian distribution. And that's after recoupment. The Communist Party's not going to see a nickel out of this goddamn show until we go into syndication.
Oh, come on, Lorraine. The party's in for $7,500 a week production expense.
I'm not giving this pseudo-insurrectionary sectarian a piece of my show. I'm not giving him script approval. And I sure as shit ain't cutting him into my distribution charges.
You fucking fascist! Did you see the bill we made in the San Marino jailbreak out demonstrating the rising up of the Seminole prisoner class infrastructure?
You can blow the Seminole prisoner class infrastructure out your ass! I'm not knocking down my goddamn distribution charges!
Man, give her the fucking overhead clause. Let's get back to page 22. 5. Small A. Subsidiary rights.
Where are we now? Page 22, middle of the page, subsidiary rights. As used herein, subsidiary rights means, without limitation, any and all rights.
Two days, you've all had opportunity to meet Diana Christensen, our vice president in charge of programming. This afternoon, you all saw some of the stuff she's set up for the new season. You all know that she is the woman behind the Howard Beale Show. We all know she's beautiful. We all know she's brainy. I was thinking, before we start digging into our Chateaubriands, let's show her how we feel about her.
Next year, we're number one!
We're number one!
It is exactly 7 o'clock here in Los Angeles, and right now, over a million homes using television in this city are turning their dials to Channel 3, and that's our channel!
Country. When one company wants to take over another company, they simply buy up a controlling share of the stock. But first, they have to file notice with the government. That's how CCA took over the company that owns this network. But now, somebody is buying up CCA. Somebody called the Western World Funding Corporation. They filed the notice this morning. Well, just who in the hell is the Western World Funding Corporation? It is a consortium of banks and insurance companies who are not buying CCA for themselves, but as agents for somebody else. And who is the somebody else? They won't tell you. They won't tell you. They won't tell the Senate. They won't tell the SEC, the FCC. They won't tell the Justice Department. They won't
tell
anybody.
Mr. Hackett, do you have a New York call for me?
The hell it is!
Do you want to turn that down, please?
I will tell you who they're buying CCA for. They're buying it for the Saudi Arabian Investment Corporation. They're buying it for the Arab.
Clarence Frank Hackett here. How's everything back in New York? How's the good lady?
Who despise this country and everything it stands for, democracy, freedom.
All right, Clarence, take it easy. I don't know what you're talking about. When?
A couple of dozen.
Tonight show?
Are going to own
Clarence,
what you work,
take it easy.
Where you live, what you read, what you see.
The Howard Beale show's just going on out here. You guys get it 3 hours earlier in New York. Clarence, take it easy. How the hell could I see it? It's just going on now.
And there's not a single law in the books to stop them. Thereby, GCA.
What did Mr. Jensen call?
We all know that the Arabs control $16 billion in this country. They own a chunk of Fifth Avenue, 20 downtown pieces of Boston, a part of the Port of New Orleans, an industrial park in Salt Lake City. They own big hunks of the Atlanta Hilton, the Arizona Land and Cattle Company, the Security National Bank in California, the Bank of the Commonwealth in Detroit. They control Aramco, so that puts them into Exxon, Texaco, and Mobil Oil. They're all over New Jersey, Louisville, St. Louis, Missouri. And that's only what we know about this. A lot more we don't know about, because all of those Arab petrodollars are washed through Switzerland and Canada and the biggest banks in this country. For example, what we don't know about is this CCA deal and all the other CCA deals. Right now, the Arabs have screwed us out of enough American dollars to come right back and with our own money buy General Motors, IBM, ITT, AT&T, DuPont, U.S. Steel, and 20 other American companies. Hell, they already own half of England. So listen to me. Listen to me, goddammit. The Arabs are simply buying us. There's only one thing that can stop them. You. You. So, I want you to get up now. I want you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the phone. I want you to get up from your chairs, go to the phone, get in your cars, drive into the Western Union offices in town. I want you to send a telegram to the White House.
Oh, my God.
By midnight tonight, I want a million telegrams in the White House. I want them wading knee-deep in telegrams in the White House. I want you to get up right now and write a telegram to President Ford saying, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore. I don't want the banks selling my country to the Arabs. I want the CCA deal stop now. I want the CCA deal stop now. Come on. I want the CCA deal stop now. I want the CCA.
We have the room.
Sure.
Well, I'd like to see a typescript and run through a couple more times. But as for this old CCA deal with the Saudis, you'd know a lot more about that, Frank, than I would. Is it true?
CCA has $2 billion in loans with the Saudis, and they hold every pledge we've got. We need that Saudi money bad. Disaster, this show is a disaster. Unmitigated disaster. Death knell. I'm ruined. I'm dead. Finished.
Maybe we're overstating Beale's clock with the public.
Ago, Clarence McElhaney called me from New York. It was 10 o'clock in the east, and our people in the White House report they were already knee-deep in telegrams. By tomorrow morning, it'll be suffocating telegrams.
And the government stopped the deal?
They can hold it up. The SEC could hold this deal up for 20 years if they wanted to. I'm finished. Any second that phone's going to ring, and Clarence McElhaney's going to tell me Mr. Jensen wants me in his office tomorrow morning, so he can personally chop my head off. 4 hours ago, I was a sun god at CCA. Mr. Jensen's hand-picked golden boy. The heir apparent. Now, I'm a man without a corporation.
Give that to Howard Beale. you're not seriously going to pull Beale off the air.
Jensen is unhappy with Howard Beale and wants him discontinued.
But he may be unhappy, but he isn't stupid enough to withdraw the number one show on television out of pique.
$2 billion isn't pique! That's the wrath of God! And the wrath of God wants Howard Beale fired!
What for? Every other network will grab him the minute he walks out the door. He'll be back on the air for ABC tomorrow, and we'll lose 20
points. I'm going to pay the son of a bitch with a sharp stick from the heart!
$40 million loss in revenues for the year.
I've got a contract.
And let's not discount federal action by the Justice Department. If CCA...
No, I'll do it myself.
...off the air as an act of retribution.
I'll strangle him with a sharp cord!
...network autonomy and a green... I don't think Jensen's going to fire anybody.
Yes, Clarence. I've already booked my flight. Well, can you give me a little more time than that? I've got the red-eye flight. I won't be back in New York until 6 tomorrow morning. That'll be just fine. I'll see you then. Mr. Jensen wants to meet Howard Beale personally. Wants Mr. Beale in his office at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning.
The federal revolution is at hand. I have seen the shattering fulgurations of ultimate clarity. The light is impending. I bear witness to the light.
Good morning, Mr. Beale. They tell me you're a madman.
Only dizzled to relieve.
How are you now?
I'm as mad as a hatter.
Who is it? I'm going to take you into our conference room. Seems more seemly a setting for what I have to say to you. I started as a salesman, Mr. Beale. I sold sewing machines and automobile parts, hairbrushes and electronic equipment. They say I can sell anything. I'd like to try to sell something to you. Valhalla, Mr. Beale. Please sit down. You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, Mr. Beale, and I won't have it! Is that clear? You think you merely stopped a business deal? That is not the case. The Arabs have taken billions of dollars out of this country, and now they must put it back! It is ebb and flow, tidal gravity, it is ecological balance. You are an old man who thinks in terms of nations and peoples. There are no nations. There are no peoples. There are no Russians. There are no Arabs. There are no third worlds. There is no West. There is only one holistic system of systems. One vast and immane, interwoven, interacting, multivariate, multinational dominion of dollars. Petrodollars, electrodollars, multidollars, Reichmarks, rands, rubles, pounds, and shekels. It is the international system of currency which determines the totality of life on this planet. That is the natural order of things today. That is the atomic and subatomic and galactic structure of things today. And you have meddled with the primal forces of nature.
and you will atone.
Am I getting through to you, Mr. Beale?
You get up on your little 21-inch screen and howl about America and democracy. There is no America. There is no democracy. There is only IBM and ITT and AT&T and DuPont, Dow, Union Carbide, and Exxon. Those are the nations of the world today.
What do you think the Russians talk about in their councils of state?
Karl Marx? They get out their linear programming charts, statistical decision theories, min-max solutions, and compute the price-cost probabilities of their transactions and investments, just like we do. We no longer live in a world of nations and ideologies, Mr. Beale. The world is a college of corporations, inexorably determined by the immutable bylaws of business. The world is a business, Mr. Beale.
It has been since man crawled out of the slime. And our children will live, Mr. Beale, to see that perfect world in which there's no war or famine, oppression or brutality. One vast and ecumenical holding company for whom all men will work to serve a common profit, in which all men will hold a share of stock. All necessities provided, all anxieties tranquilized, all boredom amused. And I have chosen you, Mr. Beale, to preach this evangel.
Why me?
Because you're on television, dummy. 60 million people watch you every night of the week, Monday through Friday.
I have seen the face of God.
You just might be right, Mr. Beale.
That evening, Howard Beale went on the air to preach the corporate cosmology of Arthur Jensen.
I got up here and asked you people to stand up and fight for your heritage, and you did, and it was beautiful. 6 million telegrams were received at the White House. The Arab takeover of CCA has been stopped. The people spoke, the people won. It was a radiant eruption of democracy. But I think that was it, fellas. That sort of thing is not likely to happen again, because at the bottom of all our terrified souls, we know that democracy is a dying giant, a sick, sick, dying, decaying political concept writhing in its final pain. I don't mean that the United States is finished as a world power. The United States is the richest, the most powerful, the most advanced country in the world, light years ahead of any other country. And I don't mean the communists are going to take over the world, because the communists are deader than we are. What is finished is the idea that this great country is dedicated to the freedom and flourishing of every individual in it. It's the individual that's finished. It's the single, solitary human being that's finished. It's every single one of you out there that's finished. Because this is no longer a nation of independent individuals. It's a nation of some 200-odd million transistorized, deodorized, whiter than white, steel-belted bodies, totally unnecessary as human beings, and as replaceable as piston rods.
Well, the time has come to say, is dehumanization such a bad word? Because good or bad, that's what is so. The whole world is becoming humanoid, creatures that look human but aren't. The whole world, not just us, we're just the most advanced country, so we're getting there first. The whole world's people are becoming mass-produced, programmed, numbered, insensate things.
It was a perfectly admissible argument that Howard Beale advanced in the days that followed. It was, however, also a very depressing one. Nobody particularly cared to hear his life was utterly valueless.
Luke.
By the end of the first week in June, the Howard Beale show had dropped Luke. 1 point in the ratings, and its trend of shares dipped under 48 Luke. For the first time since last November.
You're his goddamn agent, Lou. I'm counting on you to talk some sense into the lunatic. Nobody wants to hear about dying democracy and dehumanization.
I'm sorry I'm late.
Look, we're starting to get rumbles from the agencies. Another couple of weeks of this and the sponsors will be bailing out. This is a breach of contract, Lou. This is the Howard Beale we signed. You better get him off that corporate universe kick, or so help me, I'll pull him off the air. I told him, Lou. I have been telling him every day for a week. I am sick of telling him. Now you tell him. You could help me out with Howard if you wanted to. He listens to you. You're his best friend.
I'm tired of all this hysteria about Howard Beale.
Every time you come back from seeing somebody in your family, you come back in one of these morbid, middle-aged moods.
And I'm tired of finding you on the goddamn telephone every time I turn around. I'm tired of being an accessory in your life. And I'm tired of pretending to write this dumb book about my maverick days and the great early years of television. Every goddamned executive fired from a network in the last 20 years has written this dumb book about the great early years of television. And nobody wants a dumb, damn, goddamn television.
Terrific, Max, terrific. Maybe you can start a whole new career as an actor.
It's the truth. After living with you for 6 months, I'm turning into one of your scripts. Well, this is not a script, Diana. There's some real, actual life going on here. I went to visit my wife today because she's in a state of depression. So depressed that my daughter flew all the way from Seattle to be with her. And I feel lousy about that. I feel lousy about the pain that I've caused my wife and my kids. I feel guilty and conscience-stricken and all of those things that you think sentimental, but which my generation calls simple human decency. And I miss my home because I'm beginning to get scared shitless. Because all of a sudden it's closer to the end than it is the beginning. And death is suddenly a perceptible thing to me. With definable features. You're dealing with a man that has primal doubts, Diana. And you've got to cope with it. I'm not some guy discussing male menopause on the Barbara Walters show. I'm the man that you presumably love. I'm part of your life. I live here. I'm real. Can't switch to another station.
Well, what exactly is it you want me to do?
I just want you to love me. I just want you to love me, primal doubts and all. You understand that, don't you?
I don't know how to do that. I'll be with you in a minute, Max.
By the first week in July, the Howard Beale show was down 11 points. Hysteria swept through the network.
He's lame. He's smallpox. He's typhoid. I don't want to follow his goddamn show. I want out of here to cross spot. I've got enough troubles without Howard Beale as the lead-in. You guys scheduled me up against Sony Orlando and Dawn. NBC's got Little House on the Prairie. ABC's got that bionic woman. You got to do something.
But if you're not...
But Howard Beale, get off the air. Get off. Do something. Do anything.
We're trying to find a replacement for him. I'm going down to look at audition footage right now.
And
friend. I opened the sixth seal, and then I tell you I saw it. It was heavy, baby. I saw the earth quake, and I saw the moon became like blood, and every mountain and island was moved from its place. And
no, 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 damn it!
What am I talking about?
We wanted Hellfire, we get Billy Graham, we don't want faith healers, ten-show evangelists, or Oberammergau passion players. What about that terrific new messiah that ABC was supposed to have signed up as our competition for next year?
No!
That's him.
The bottomless pit is here, and is ascending.
Jesus, turn him off!
I'm talking about...
I've got three more, but you've already seen the best ones. I've got a guru from Spokane and two more hellfires who see visions of the Virgin Mary.
We're not going to find a replacement for Howard Beale, so let's stop kidding ourselves. Fully-fledged messiahs don't come in bunches. We either go with Howard Beale or we go without him. My reports say we'll do better without him. It would be disaster to let this situation go on another week. By then, he'll be down 16 points, and the trend irreversible if it isn't already. I think we should fire Howard.
Arthur Jensen has taken a strong personal interest in the Howard Beale show.
I'm having dinner with him tonight. Let me have another crack at Jensen, and then let's meet in my office at 10 o'clock tonight. Diana, give me copies of all your audience research reports. I may need them for Jensen. Is 10 o'clock convenient for everyone?
Has come to reevaluate our relationship, Max.
So I see.
I don't like the way this script of ours is turning out. It's turning into a seedy little drama. Middle-aged man leaves wife and family for young heartless woman, goes to pot. The Blue Angel with Marlene Dietrich and Emil Jannings. I don't like it.
So you're going to cancel the show?
Yeah, right.
We do that.
Simple. Fact is, Max, that you're a family man. You like a home and kids, and that's beautiful, but I am incapable of any such commitment. All you'll get from me is another couple of months of intermittent sex and recriminant and ugly little scenes like the one we had last night. I'm sorry for all those things I said to you last night. You're not the worst fuck I've ever had. Believe me, I've had worse. You don't puff or snorkel and make death-like rattles. As a matter of fact, you're rather serene in the sack.
Why is it that a woman always thinks that the most savage thing she can say to a man is to impugn his cocksmanship?
Well, I'm sorry I impugned your cocksmanship.
I gave up comparing genitals back in the schoolyard.
You're being docile as hell about this.
Oh, hell, Diana. I knew it was over with us weeks ago.
Will you go back to your wife?
I'll give it a try, but I don't think she'll jump at it. But don't worry about me. I'll manage. I always have. I always will. I'm more concerned about you. And you're not the bruiser type. So I figure a year, maybe two, before you crack up. Or jump out of your 14th floor office window.
Stop selling, Max. I don't need you. I don't want your pain. I don't want your menopausal decay and death. I don't need you, Max.
You need me. You need me badly. Because I'm your last contact with human reality. I love you. And that painful, decaying love is the only thing between you and the shrieking nothingness you live the rest of the day.
And don't leave me.
It's too late, Diana. There's nothing left in you I can live with. You're one of Howard's humanoids. And if I stay with you, I'll be destroyed. Like Howard Beale was destroyed. Like Lorraine Hobbs was destroyed. Like everything that you and the institution of television touch is destroyed. You're television incarnate, Diana. Indifferent to suffering. Insensitive to joy. All of life is reduced to the common rubble of banality. War, murder, death. All the same to you as bottles of beer. And the daily business of life is a corrupt comedy. You even shatter the sensations of time and space into split seconds and instant replays. Your madness, Diana. Virulent madness. And everything you touch dies with you. But not me. Not as long as I can feel pleasure and pain. And it's a happy ending. Wayward husband comes to his senses, returns to his wife, with whom he's established a long and sustaining love. Heartless young woman left alone in her arctic desolation. Music up with the swell. Final commercial. Here are a few scenes from next week's show.
How did it go?
Jensen was unhappy at the idea of taking Howard Beale off the air. Mr. Jensen thinks Howard Beale is bringing a very important message to the American people. So he wants Howard Beale on the air, and he wants him kept on. Mr. Jensen feels we're too catastrophic in our thinking. I argued that television was a volatile industry in which success and failure were determined week by week. Mr. Jensen said he did not like volatile industries and suggested with a certain sinister silkiness that volatility in business usually reflected bad management. He didn't really care if Howard Beale was the number one show on television or the 50th. He didn't really care if the Beale show lost money. He wants Howard Beale on the air, and he wants him kept on. I would describe his position on this as inflexible.
Where does that put us, Diana?
That puts us in the shit house. That's where that puts us. Do you want me to go through this?
Yes.
Okay, the Beale Show Q score is down to 33. Most of this loss occurred in the child and teen and 18-34 categories, which were our key core markets. It is the AR department's carefully considered judgment and mine that if we get rid of Beale, we should be able to maintain a very respectable share in the high 20s, possibly 30, with a comparable Q level. The other segments of the show, Sybil the Soothsayer, Jim Webbing, the Vox Populi, have all developed their own audiences. Our AR report showed that it is Howard Beale that is the destructive force here. Minimally, we're talking about a 10-point differential in shares. I think Joe ought to spell it out for us, Joe.
28 share is $80,000 minutes. And I think we can sell complete positions on the whole. As a matter of fact, we're just getting into the pre-Christmas gift sellers. And I'll tell you, the agencies are coming back to me with $4 CPMs. Now, that's an indication we're talking $40, $45 million loss in annual revenues.
You guys want to hear all the flack I'm getting from the affiliates?
We know all about it, Herb.
And you would describe Mr. Jensen's position on Beale as inflexible?
Intractable and adamantine.
So what do we do about this Beale son of a bitch?
I suppose we'll have to kill him. I don't suppose you have any ideas on that, Diana.
Well, what would you fellas say to an assassination?
I think I can get the Mousy Tomb people to kill Beale for us. It's one of their shows.
In fact, it'll make a hell of a kickoff show for the season. We're facing heavy opposition on the other networks for Wednesday nights, and the Mousy 2 Hour could use a sensational opener. It could be done right on camera, in the studio. We ought to get a fantastic look-in audience with the assassination of Howard Beale as our opening show.
Well, if Beale dies, what would our continuing obligation to the Beale Corporation be? I know our contract with Beale contains a buyout clause triggered by his death or incapacity.
There must be a formula for the computation of the purchase price.
Offhand, I think it was based on a multiple of 1975 earnings with the base period in 1975. I think it was 50% of salary plus 25% of the first year's profit multiplied by the unexpired portion of the contract. I don't think the show has any substantial syndication value, would you say, Diana?
Syndication profits are minimal.
We're talking about a capital crime here. The network can't be implicated.
I hope you don't have any hidden tape machines in this office, Frank.
Well, the issue is, shall we kill Howard Beale or not? I'd like to hear some more opinions on that.
But I don't see we have any option, Frank. Let's kill the son of a bitch.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it. How do you feel? Ladies and gentlemen, the Network News Hour with Sybil the Soothsayer. Jim Webbing and his It's the Emma's Truth Department. Miss Matahari and her skeletons in the closet. Another segment of Vox Populi. And starring the mad prophet of the airways, Howard Beale.
Network news anchorman on the UBS Network News Show, known to millions as the mad prophet of the airwaves, was shot to death tonight in a fusillade of automatic rifle fire just as he began this evening's broadcast.
He never compromised, so why should you?
Identified themselves as the group responsible for the killing
of the
massive man of well over 6 feet carrying automatic weapons.
Don't you know this great lion has done so much to
you? I'm not going to try.
The studio audience.
Mother country's got their arms open wide.
The extraordinary incident occurred in full view of his millions of viewers. The assassins were members of a terrorist group called the Ecumenical Liberation Army, two of whom were apprehended. The leader of the group, known as the Great Ahmed Khan, escaped.
This was the story of Howard Beale, the first known instance of a man who was killed because he had lousy ratings.
The group responsible for the great Ahmed Khan, a massive man, well over 6 feet,
carrying an automatic weapon.
Other members of the audience.
Apparently, the game has worked supposed to be vigorously.